Coming up this hour on the show, we have our college football playoff rankings. 1 week away from the committee handing out their teams. We'll do it at 8:35. And the fallout for Michigan State. Is there any truth to the narrative that Jonathan Smith wasn't ready for the rivalry? Sharon Moore, what does he have to do to build back that trust and that faith for the Wolverine fans?
Yeah, it was a fun game. Obviously, right up until the end. And I liked how both coaches were prepared for the game. And I think he was ready for a rivalry game.
We'll talk more about it at 8:50. We've got the head coach of the Detroit Lions, Dan Campbell. Dan, that was a unique football game on Sunday. All those possessions inside enemy territory. How are you feeling about it after the win?
Yeah, feel good. I mean, it feels good to win, you know, and it always feels good to win in a different way. You know, that means your team's pretty healthy and that we're running on all cylinders. And so, you know, special teams has been a big part of what we do here. They always have. But, you know, man, when you talk about maximizing what you can get out of that unit, they really did it that day. So that was, you know, it's credit to Dave Phipp and those guys on that crew, man, put in the hard work because that's a lot of dirty work. And then Khalif coming to life. Dorsey had a hell of a return. Anyway, it was a good win.
Was there any surprise when they kept kicking to Leaf? Like at some point, I would think that they just kicked the ball out of bounds.
Yeah, I think the hard thing with that is if that's not what you do, and you say, "Hey, just kick it out of bounds," you'll start shanking them. That's where you got to be careful, I think. And so what you noticed is late they started trying to kick. They tried to kick him sideline-ish corners, and they couldn't quite get it there. And so I think they were trying to keep it away, but they just I don't think they could quite get it there. But that is what happens. You got to be careful saying, hey, just kick it out of bounds, because then you'll end up with a 20-yard net, which maybe it is just as good after what Khalif was doing.
Yeah. So I got to be honest and ask this question, because you've always been a straight shooter with us. I think everybody sees you as a guy that's cuts through all the BS and just shoots us straight. Yesterday in the press conference, you were asked about an imminent trade, and you start jumping around. Was that genuine excitement, or were you just trolling all of us?
Yeah, well, no. Dave asked me a question, I answered it, and then he wouldn't take that answer, so I just jumped up and down with the same answer. That's literally all that was.
So we shouldn't read into the jumping up and down. We've been spending hours trying to decode. What does it mean?
Tell Dave to do better.
Yeah, you guys are wasting energy.
All right.
That's not the answer I wanted.
That's fair enough. The belief that you guys will trade for someone in the next week here before the deadline, what would you say to that?
Yeah, honestly, we're still looking into it. I mean, it's not like this is stopped. I mean, you know, don't forget, some of these really good players or players that you think can help, if they're good, most teams won't let them go. You know, and so we're working through all that. Brad's doing a great job, and this continues. And look, maybe it happens, maybe it doesn't. I don't know. I honestly don't know. I mean, it. I feel like it changes every day, and so we'll just take it as it comes. And like I say, this is the squad, and this is the squad we're going to get ready to play every week.
So there's a lot of good that we could talk about on Sunday. There's also, you know, some areas where maybe some concern. Any concern on your end with the four sacks and the pressure that Jared Goff took, especially early in the game?
Yeah, we got to be better than that. That's, you know, we are better than that. We need to be better. I mean, to have the amount of plays that we did or lack thereof, you know, for him to take those, we know we have to clean that stuff up, and we will. It's interesting. You see those, and you take it for what it is, and it's the fact he's on the ground. But then when you really digest it, look at it, focus on it, you're like, oh man, we're so close to cleaning that up. That's one little thing away. That's 1 foot here. There's just little small things between fundamentals and then guys working together that make a huge difference, you know. And it literally is not one guy. It's everybody, you know, on that unit doing their job. So I'm not concerned about it, no.
Talking to Lions head coach Dan Campbell. unique spot to where you can pull starters two of the last three games. Just as you're coaching that game, I can't imagine it's in your nature to pull back, but what goes through your head when you make that decision, hey, we're going to get some key starters out of the game?
Yeah, I mean, it is. It's rare. That's a rare thing. I mean, it's rare. And so, you know, you're sitting there, and I think the hard thing was, as well as we did offensively, for example, in red zone, you know, we were on it, and we were productive in that manner. You know, we felt like we never got in a true rhythm out in the field, you know, where we got a conversion and continued on. Because even the one we got backed up, you know, Gibbs, first play out of the gate, he just took off. And that's awesome. We'll take those all day long. It was well blocked, and you know, and then Gibbs takes off and scores 70 yards. But it's, you know, you just never felt like you even really used much of your game plan. I mean, we didn't use much of the third down, the first and second out in the field, all that. And so, so what's hard is you want to feel like, all right, let's see if we can kind of get a little rhythm going here. But you're up the way we were, and then it's, you know, all right, do you feel good about this team not making a comeback or something freakish happening and all that? You say, you know, yeah, I think I do. Then that's when you start pulling guys. But so it just felt like the right thing to do for that game, that situation. And it's a chance for some of these other guys to get reps. I mean, that's what I said offensively. I wish we'd have gotten more than six reps. I mean, that's all we got, two series and three and outs. There's a chance to get Hooker on the field and some of our other young guys and backups.
So on the edge, going back to the defense, with obviously Marcus Davenport, Hutch, Kaminsky, and now obviously Pascal missed last week. The guys that stepped in, Houston and Isaiah Thomas, Ikwu, what have you seen from those guys that make you believe, if you don't add to the edge, that they can get the job done?
Yeah, well, look, I thought Houston was better this game. I thought he was better. I thought Muhammad, I thought, did exactly what we thought he would do and what we wanted him to do. Man, bring your lunch pail and go to work and just be disruptive, play violent, play physical, finish on the plays, and I thought he did that. And so that was good, you know. And he's experienced. I mean, he's played in this league, and so he's got some awareness about him at that position, you know. And then look, Isaiah did a few things too. He's young, you know. He's young and he's a little bit raw. He hadn't played a lot, and so this is a chance to get him in there and get him some work too. But there's going to be growing pains when you're a guy who hadn't played in this league very much. So, but I was, you know, look, I was encouraged by all of them, and I did think they all got a little bit better or did things we thought they would do or hoped that they would do. So, you know, look, that's always going to give me hope, on top of the fact that we still have the guys we do in the back end, you know, the way Branch is playing and Kirby and, you know, CD. I thought T.A. did some good things. You know, Meek was big in that game. And then, you know, certainly our linebackers. So, you know, we play as a team. We play as a whole defense. We play with all three phases, and that's why. Because you use it at your disposal when you need it on Sundays.
We learned that David Montgomery playing high school quarterback wasn't just him bragging. That was a hell of a spiral on the touchdown throw. Ben Johnson says the well is deep. What's behind this? It feels like an increase in the number of trick plays that you guys have been running this season.
We got more guys. I mean, you know, all these guys come up. They claim they can throw, they can catch, they can do this. And so we got to see if they can. They can. And then we got to find more plays. So that's why the well's deep. You better have them. I mean, these guys keep coming up to us with stuff. David, he's been able to throw, and he's done a good job in practice. That was the best throw I've seen. I mean, that was better than any practice rep we had. And I thought practice was pretty good, so that was a heck of a throw.
Who's on you the most?
No, look, we're always looking. Ben's always looking for ideas, and anytime we've got something we think it makes sense, we'll start cooking it. And if we like it, we'll use it at some point, and if we don't, we don't. We don't do it anymore.
Which player is on you the most for doing something outside what their position skill set would normally say?
Man, that's hard to say which one is the most. They're pretty equal in that manner, I would say. You know, they're all quarterbacks. They're all runners.
They can all catch.
Yep.
They can all catch. I mean, so it's pretty equal in that regard.
Dan, what's your message to the team and the guys as you guys gear up for the Green Bay game this week?
Shoes. That's the message. The right shoes. We're going to Lambeau. It's grass. It's a nationally televised game. 325 Central for the division. Second divisional game. It just doesn't get any better than this. So what else do I need to say?
I feel like you cut the promo for the TV networks already. That's great. Yeah. All right, Dan. We appreciate some of your time. We'll talk next week.
Okay, sounds good.
It's Lions head coach Dan Campbell. It's 97.1.
Hey, I get asked all the time, why did I decide to lose weight? And where did I go for the help? I went to Ideal U, and you can contact them right now at idealu.us. The reason I did it, I just wanted to feel better, wanted to look better. I wanted to make sure I was healthy for my family, for my kids. And 2.5 years into it, I'm down 70 pounds from where I started. I was able to lose 10 pounds in the first 10 days, 50 pounds in the first 40. And as I mentioned, they're going to assign you a weight loss coach. I'm down 70 pounds because not only do they want you to achieve your goal, but they want to make sure that you stay there. And if your goal is to lose even more, they're there to support you. You could be 20, 30, or even 40 pounds lighter in just 40 days. If you want to change your life, go to idealu.us right now and schedule your free consultation. IdealU has helped thousands of people just like you and me. If you want to weigh less, go to idealu.us.
Do you feel like we just had cold water poured on us?
Yeah, I'm a little bummed. We didn't get any breaking news, which, yeah, okay.
Whatever.
We were kind of hopeful. But to be told that you're wasting your breath asking about it, where last week he was, you know, talking about guys that Brad had already brought him.
What do you think changed? It's getting more real. It's tense.
He's probably just annoyed at the questions.
Or maybe he realizes he invited this a couple weeks ago, and now he's like, I got to slow this train down because it's running away.
There's only a week left between now and the trade deadline. So I still think something is going to happen. It's and maybe not as imminent as we thought. Maybe it's not going to happen at 10:02. Sorry, you know, Doug and Gator. Mm-hmm. Breaking news at 10:02. Doesn't sound like it's going to happen. But I think they understand the need. I think it's even more glaring after this past week than it's ever been. And he's not shied away from that either.
No.
And James Houston, played better. Still no sacks.
Right.
And not enough pressure.
Yep. And like collectively, this is guys who are practice squad players and players who weren't on the 53-man roster when they were healthy. It's really a tough sell. I'm not denying that they can coach him up, that they can scheme it, that they can find a way. Why would you force yourself to do that? We have a trade deadline. You've got a bunch of picks. You're chasing a Super Bowl.
But again,
I know it's easy to say from my seat, but I do want to see them do something, John. And to your point, I still think they will.
I think they will. And yes, we all want to see them do something. Do I think that they have to? I don't think they have to. They could still be a Super Bowl contender. But I don't know how they contain quarterbacks like a Patrick Mahomes. You give Patrick Mahomes all the time in the world, and he is just simply going to pick you apart. Josh Allen, the same thing. And Lamar Jackson, same thing. Three quarterbacks, one of the three you are likely to see in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I imagine, without pulling it up, that those are the favorites to win the AFC on most sports books. You're going to face a mobile quarterback if you're going to win a Super Bowl. And I'd hate to get to that game and fall short and look back to the conversation we had right before Halloween going, well, they liked what they had. I just, that feels like inexcusable.
Well, but on the flip side too, and here's where you got to play devil's advocate a little bit. Yeah, they may be offering the world to Cincinnati. They may have offered it to Cleveland and Vegas. They may be offering it to some other teams. like he said, it's really hard to pry some of those guys away from the teams that are that they're currently on. But they're coveted because the teams they're on actually like them, and they're
said
good.
That. And he said that. There's some good guys out there. I guess I look at Kansas City, who's already won two Super Bowls, who could rest on their laurels, who could say, if we get it done with Mahomes, we do. If we don't, we don't. We're not going to mortgage a future. They're giving up draft picks, albeit not first, but they went out and got DeAndre Hopkins. They got Josh Uche. They're adding receivers and pass rushers. Yep. And if the Lions do nothing, like they don't even give up a day three pick for Za'Darius Smith, I'd go, why do they care more than you do? Why are they trying to add? And to TJ's point yesterday, other teams will add as well. Are you willing to lose ground because you like your practice squad guys so much? That's a tough sell.
I agree. And hopefully, I don't know that we'll ever hear all of we'll never hear all of the workings or the conversations that go on behind the scenes. But what is it that they, if they are in the market for Za'Darius Smith, what is Cleveland asking?
Well, they gave up, I think, 2 fifths to get him.
Okay, but this doesn't answer the question what they're asking.
It gives you an idea of pricing. Uche went for a sixth, I think, yesterday. I mean, it's not going to take a first or a second to get Za'Darius Smith. Based on market pricing.
Yeah. I wouldn't think so. But that I'm just playing that side of, are they just asking, and maybe they're only asking for a third or a fourth. You and I would probably do it. I don't know if Brad Holmes is willing to overpay for the edge help that they need.
What else did you take away from Dan? Shoes?
Yeah, I thought that was perfect.
Caught me off guard.
Yes. Shoes. Yes. It's such a player's comment in regards to, getting ready to go play outside at Lambeau Field instead of talking about the intricacies of either playing Jordan Love or Malik Willis or their defense. It's simply about shoes. Got to have the right footwear on. And I agree.
It's little stuff, but they care about all these details. The last question we asked him last week was about avoiding a letdown against Tennessee. He said, we address it. And John, there was no letdown.
No.
This little stuff matters. It does. Quick thought from Drew in Roseville. This is an interesting thought. You're on 97.1.
What's up, gentlemen?
Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Oh, well, unfortunately, I'm going to put a little cold water on us. I know this is a great run we're on right now, but unfortunately, I think we got to lose Sunday to make these guys go out, to make Holmes go out and make a major move. I mean, and I'm not talking just an extra guy, just a guy on the to get a guy on the team to get the to get in the rotation. I'm talking a guy that we were like, wow, I didn't see that one coming. Unfortunately, we have to lose. I mean, and it has to be in a way where our D line is exposed. You know, maybe on the run game, maybe on the getting too long of it. I mean, if Willis comes in, if we go out and lose to Willis because he's sitting back there for 4 to 5 seconds, I mean, so unfortunately, I think that's the way it's got to go down, guys.
So the reason I wanted to take this call is because I wanted John's reaction to the idea that they, quote, have to lose this week. I don't think you're wired that way, John.
No. I mean, you could use all the words you want, but have to lose, no.
Does a loss add extra urgency and force them to do something they otherwise aren't willing to do?
No. I think that they already realize that they need to add to the edge. Since Aiden went down, they have not been able to create any type of consistent pressure. The only sack that they had against Tennessee is the fact that there was a broken protection. Alex Anzalone was coming on a blitz, and nobody even looked at him. So as soon as Mason Rudolph turns around, boom, there's Alex Anzalone. So it's a manufactured one. It wasn't like there was a one-on-one matchup that you won.
More time to talk about this. We'll get into a little college football at 8:35. That's right. Bring your shoes. 8:50. Was Jonathan Smith ready for the rivalry? There's a narrative that he was not. We'll address that. Plus, Sherrone Moore, what more does he need to do? Because I'm sure he still needs to do more to earn your trust. It's Heather's news first.
This is great news. There's a new travel rule that's now in effect. So airlines in the U.S. are now required to give passengers cash refunds, if their flight is significantly delayed or canceled, even if that person doesn't go and specifically ask for a refund.
Mm-hmm.
Has to be done automatically. So this new rule went into effect on Monday, and here's how it works. So refunds will be automatically processed by the airline if the passenger's flight is canceled or significantly changed, and they do not accept that changed flight that they're offered if they do not accept rebooking on another flight or any other form of compensation. So if you take like flight vouchers or something, you're not going to get reimbursed, right? Makes sense.
Is this credit? I'm sorry. I will let you finish. I'm interrupting you.
Okay. Well, I'm probably not going to answer your question, but we'll see.
Because okay. I asked the ones there are no answers
to. I meant in
my story. Is it going to be refunded to your credit card if that's what you use, or is it an e-credit?
It's going to be refunded the exact way you paid for it. Okay. So if you paid for it on a credit card, it's going to be refunded that way. If you paid for it another way, that's how they're going to do it. It must be refunded within 7 business days if you paid for it on a credit card, 20 days for any other form of payment.
Okay.
So what does that mean, significantly delayed? If it's more than 3 hours for a domestic flight or more than 6 hours for an international flight.
Okay.
Also, you can get reimbursed now for baggage fees. If your bags don't arrive in a timely manner, they say. So let's see. It says if you aren't given your bag within 12 hours on a domestic flight or 15 to 30 hours for an international flight, you can get reimbursed for that. You can also get reimbursed for things like in-flight Wi-Fi if it doesn't work, seat selection if that doesn't work out, or anything that basically you paid for that's not functional or unavailable when you get on your plane.
That's good.
It's great. Great for us. Not great for the airlines. They're not loving it, I'm sure, but it's
business.
Great news for us. Yes. This story, I think, is great. There's two local parents that went from being fugitives running from the police to having the same officer escort them to the hospital. I always think about this when women are in labor and how many people have to do something like this. On October 17th, woman's water broke, right? She wasn't expecting it, just kind of thought, oh, that only happens in movies, right?
Yeah.
Well, no, her water broke at home. Her and her significant other jump in the truck, right? They're on their way to the hospital. This is in Utica. They hit Hall Road. Boom, traffic. So got to figure out what to do, right? Got to get to the
shoulder.
Got to get to the hospital. So he did something like that, made an illegal left turn right in front of an officer. Officer's lights go on, but this guy's not stopping. He's going fast and the officer can't get him to pull over. So he actually called 911 and said, here's what's happening. I'm not going to stop. There's an officer chasing me. Basically, they were fugitives. Yeah. Eventually, he did stop and was in a hurry, waved the officer over, said, my wife is in labor. We need to get to the hospital. So she turned on her lights and was the escort, got them to the hospital in time. And it was a good thing because it sounds like the baby actually was showing signs of distress, needed to be seen right away. And later, they had a healthy little boy, Henry, and they got to meet the officer days later and they took a picture with her and thanked her for her help. Yeah, very awesome. More than 4 dozen fans were kicked out of the Big House during the Michigan-Michigan State game. Various reasons, but according to the University of Michigan Public Safety, 55 people were ejected from the game, 34 of them for disorderly conduct. They said others were for assault, intoxication, fighting, breaking stadium rules regarding alcohol, and then one person was removed because of a ticketing issue. And not that surprising.
No.
I mean, especially 55 for a night game, people out of how many people were there?
100,000 plus.
It's a low percentage,
Very, very, very low.
Anticipated.
So, yes, without a doubt.
It's Heather with the news. Coming up next, the top 12 teams in college football. Is it finally time for the Indiana Hoosiers? It's 97.1. All right, guys, it's football season. It's time to elevate your tailgating game, Moran Chevrolet, where GM employees and immediate family members can lease the 2024 Silverado 4-wheel drive LT crew cab for just $239 a month. That's 24 months, $999 down. And it's Moran Chevrolet, where you always get the best price. Period. Moran has shipments arriving daily. They're going to have the vehicle you're looking for. If it's the Silverado, great. Maybe it's an EV. Score your best deal at moranexpress.com or stop by in person. Meet with the staff. Test drive what you're looking for. They're on Gratiot north of 15 Mile in Clinton Township. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. Has your opinion changed on either coach, Michigan, Michigan State, after the game? I've seen the narrative. Jonathan Smith wasn't ready for the rivalry. We'll get into how much more work Sharon needs to do to earn back your trust. We got a call to get to. Mike in Livonia, you want to get inside Dan Campbell's head and try to figure out why he's maybe downplaying the need for a pass rusher. You're on 97.1.
Hey, what's up, Jim? So I just wanted to say, man, I think we kind of overread a lot when it comes to, the coaches and the GMs when they talk about trades and stuff like that, because it takes two to tango, and it's a poker game, obviously, when you're making deals, especially dealing with players, you know, that are franchise-type players, right? We're talking about Miles Garrett or Max Crosby, right? So for us, even when the owner comes out, and we talked about this, me and you, Jim, when the owner comes out and says, hey, we love this guy, he's a culture fit, we can change our, you know, our franchise around with this player, and we don't need to deal him, you know, at that point, you really kind of try to entice them. And so when you're doing that, you're not going to go out in the public and be like, well, we love them so much and this and that. Well, they'll be asking for the moon at that point. So, you know, you play smart. You play hard to get a little bit. And especially in the media, you don't say as much. I was actually a little surprised that Dan has been kind of talking about it.
Yeah.
If anything, he should have just said, hey, you know what? We don't talk about stuff like that in the public. You know, we're not going to talk about players on other teams. When we get a player and he joins us, then at that point, I'll go ahead and kind of talk about it. And the purpose behind that is it drives the price up. Like, are you going to spend four first-round picks to try to, like, attain Max Crosby? I don't know if you want to do that. So you try to bring the price down, and the other GM is going to get there
a deal. I think that's a fair read. Okay, I've appreciated how open he's been in all this. Instead of shutting down trade talks, he's acknowledged the need, and he's been pretty forthcoming. I wonder if getting into the week of the deadline, he's realizing, let's dial it back just a little bit, tighter to the vest.
Well, I don't think there's no secret the Lions need edge help. There's no secret Aiden Hutchinson is hurt. So I don't know that him coming out and saying, yeah, we'd like to add to the edge, I don't think it drives the market up at all. I think other GMs are dumb. It's obvious that the Lions are going to be in the market for edge help.
Yeah, it's like if Brad calls you, what are you calling about?
Yeah, and he didn't talk about anybody on another player's roster.
No.
He didn't name any names.
No.
He didn't say, oh, we're going to Cincinnati to try and get one of their guys, or down in New Orleans because I was at, you know, there, and I know these players. Like, that's...
No, but when he said, and I'm not mad, I'm happy he shared it, that he has had homework assignments from Brad Holmes, basically. Hey, will you evaluate this player? We're seriously considering them. That's not something that coaches normally reveal to people.
Yeah.
So I'm appreciative that he was that honest. I think it's only led to more questions, and I think that may have been why he goes, hey, we will or we won't. You know, he wasn't defiant with us, but I think he's to the point where, like, there's really not much more he can say, and maybe wants to tamp down some of the fervor around adding a pass rusher.
But I also think whether he said that or not, there's going to be this conversation about adding to the edge, adding a player at the trade deadline, making this team better. And whether it was Aiden Hutchinson getting hurt or it was another position, there's always going to be a discussion. How can this team, who we think is a Super Bowl contender, get even better at the trade deadline? When you have teams that are completely out of it, that are in a rebuild, and they need draft capital. Well, if they need draft capital and we need a player that they have, it makes all the sense in the world.
Get a deal done. All right, Michigan State. I've seen this narrative that Jonathan Smith wasn't ready for the rivalry. And some of it is based on the comments he made yesterday reflecting on the rivalry game. This is Jonathan Smith. I don't think there's anything damning about what he said. I think you only have a greater appreciation for this rivalry once you participate. In terms of why Michigan State lost the game, I do think there were some coaching mistakes from Jonathan Smith, but I don't think one of those mistakes
was not being ready.
Was not understanding this rivalry. Everybody had said, you win the rushing battle, you win the game. Well, he came out and they won the rushing battle, and including their first possession where they went right down the field, right down their throat, bully ball, we're tougher, we're physical, we're better. That's a team that came out with their hair on fire. I don't think that's a team that's coaches, well, he's from the Pacific Northwest and he doesn't appreciate our Midwest rivalry. He's not passionate enough. They came out with passion in that game. They screwed up because of all the other things, right? Missing a field goal, fumbling the football. I do think from his standpoint, some more shots down the field to test Michigan's secondary with no Will Johnson, that's a coaching blunder. I don't think that's because it's Michigan and Michigan State and he didn't understand the rivalry. I think there were coaching mistakes he made separately from his understanding of this rivalry.
Yeah, and anytime you look at the film, anytime you have some time between what happened and actually reviewing it, you look at it and you go, it seems obvious we should have thrown the ball down the field. It seems obvious we should have loaded up the box and played, you know, tighter with the safeties when Alex Orgie was under center.
Yep.
All of those things seem obvious now. And when you're not in the moment, they also seem obvious. I didn't understand it in the moment. There's things that Michigan does that I don't understand in the moment. But to sit there and say that he wasn't ready for the rivalry, like, what do you expect him to say? I was ready, but our kicker missed a kick. I was ready, but our quarterback missed an opportunity because he turned the ball over and he created an opportunity for Michigan right before half. Like, all of those things, are true, but I don't think what it came down to was, I think it was in-game coaching.
Yeah.
And maybe some preparation in the game plan, but it wasn't the fact that he didn't understand the rivalry. You always understand every single matchup more after you play it than when you're in it. You understand a rivalry and all the intricacies of that rivalry more after you experience it. That's what he said. But he understands rivalries. He was in Oregon, Oregon State as a player and as a coach.
Well, and people say it's different. And yeah, every rivalry has its own quirks to it. But I think it's like a pre-made opinion that was going to happen if they lost the game no matter what. Because he is not from the Midwest.
And so many players
aren't. He's an outsider, 60 new players. If they lost in any way, shape, or form, any style of game, shootout, low scoring, sloppy, clean, it was going to be, well, he just doesn't get it yet. And I think the word yet is important, John, because I don't think anybody should be jumping ship here. I think he's still going to be a good coach in in Michigan State. And next year they get the game in East Lansing, and it's Childs with a year under his belt. That's maybe the only issue that really sticks out to me is I wish they would have gone down swinging with him a little more. The idea was they had a playmaker at quarterback, and maybe they were nervous they couldn't protect him. Maybe they were nervous he was going to make a mistake. I would have said we're going to win or lose with Aiden because Childs is going to be the guy this year and next year, and he's going to set the tone for this football team.
And it's going to be a matter of how does he hit the transfer portal. I mean, he was very good at it last year. This team is better than I expected. Aiden Childs is a quarterback that is continually getting better throughout the course of the year. And I think next year he's going to be a force in the Big Ten. He's going to be damn hard to defend. They're also going to have more weapons because, you know, if he goes to the transfer portal, and you'd also like to think, if recruits and transfer portal, you know, occupants feel that Michigan State is on the rise, sure, they'd like to go there. But what does it really come down to? It comes down to money.
It does.
And it's going to be that at every program. What is the NIL? Now, yes, there will be revenue share, so players are going to get paid from the university. But what on top of that can they provide versus what Ohio State does? Or, you know, UCLA, USC, some of the other big name programs. UCLA, I guess, kind of threw that in there. I don't really think they're going to be in the market.
I was going to say, you slipped that in there.
Yeah. I just took other Big Ten teams. Oregon. Like, there's going to be major competition for players, and it really is going to come down to, as it has shown, it's a rare occasion that a guy picks a university simply because I want an education from there.
Yeah, that's kind of, it feels antiquated at this point. And Michigan State lost a couple key defensive linemen in the portal last year. Harmon's playing at Oregon, and Barrow's playing at Miami, two undefeated teams in the top 10. And yet I still feel like their front did a good job against the run. I feel like that unit is only getting better. This is where you rely on the combination. I think they have a developer, a program builder in Jonathan Smith. The trenches take a couple years, plus the infusion of the portal. No, I just thought the narrative that he didn't like appreciate the rivalry enough, and that's why he played any factor in them losing, I think is misguided. For Sharone, let's talk about Michigan a little bit coming up after the update, because for him, they're not out of the woods. I mean, beating Michigan State is certainly not a successful season by itself right now. What needs to happen the rest of the season, and maybe more importantly, what needs to happen this offseason for Michigan fans to trust that this guy's going to get it done? It's 97.1